Tonight we consider in the sermon the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In connection with that, we're going to read God's Word in Mark 14. Mark 14. This is something we recently studied in our combined Bible study, but here in this chapter, I'd like to focus on the temptation that the disciples had, and especially Peter had, and Jesus' instruction for them to pray while they were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. So we're going to begin reading at verse 26 of the chapter. We'll read through verse 42. And then jump to the end of the chapter, 66 through 72. So starting at verse 26. When they had sung and hymned, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And we'll stop reading there and jump to verse 66. We have in the verses that follow Jesus' arrest, and then his trial before the Sanhedrin, and then as part of that, the denial of Peter, or Peter's denial of Jesus in verses 66 through 72. As Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch. And the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Thus far we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many other passages that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 52. Just looking at question 127, you can find that in page 27 in the back of your Psalter. Catechism asks, which is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Let's pray. Father, even right at this moment, we heed the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We understand that Satan is always working, and he's here too, working on us. We pray, O Lord, that whatever temptation we would face in this time, that thou will deliver us from it, so that we may listen attentively to thy word and have hearts that are opened by the Holy Spirit. But also we pray that thou would use this word to encourage us to be praying regularly, because constantly we are facing sin and temptation in our lives, and we are weak of ourselves. We know it right now, but we know it just as much for tomorrow morning when we return to our work and our callings, and we return to our homes in the evening. We pray, O Lord, that thou will protect us and preserve us, and use prayer, Father, to protect us. We pray, O Lord, that thou will then make us now ready to hear this word, so we hear this defense that thou dost give to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we return again to the Lord's Prayer. It's been a little while since we've looked at the Lord's Prayer, so let's remember some of what we have looked at already. I want to go all the way back to Lord's Day 45 of the Heidelberg Catechism, because there was the introduction to our consideration of prayer. And remember the question of the Heidelberg Catechism: why must we pray? And we can add to that, why do we pray? Remember, there are two answers given to that. First of all, we pray because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. So in our relationship with our Father, this is the way we directly express our gratitude to Him for all that He has done and for all that He has given. So we pray to thank Him. The second reason we pray is to ask for the things that we need, and particularly His grace and Holy Spirit. That's what Lord's Day 45 told us as well. Because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. So we bring petitions. And so that's what we've been looking at in the Lord's Prayer, the petitions of the prayer. Five of them are ready now tonight, the sixth of those petitions. The first three petitions, remember, were focused on God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus teaches us to pray for the things that we need personally and together as the people of God. Our daily bread, the forgiveness of sins, and now lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are the things we need. Daily bread, the things of this earth, so that we can serve God day by day. But then the other two petitions, these last two, have to do with our struggle with sin. Our great need, as we know, is forgiveness. That we would know that we are forgiven for Jesus' sake when we come and confess our sins before God. But also, we are praying in this ongoing battle against sin. Not only do we need forgiveness, we need strength to fight against sin. This is what Jesus emphasized to His disciples in the passage that we read tonight. And we're going to be looking at Mark 14 on and off through the sermon to illustrate and show the points that we're making about the need for prayer as we face temptation and sin in our lives. But hear what Jesus teaches His disciples in verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. A great need that we have in our lives as we face sin and temptation in our lives is to pray that God would protect us and preserve us. Jesus' disciples needed that. They needed that there in the garden, but not for what was going on right then, but for what was to come. For what was to come when Jesus was arrested there in the garden. And first they wanted to fight, Peter wanted to fight, but then they fled because Jesus said no fighting. And then what happened later for Peter? When he was exposed for who he was, and he denied Jesus three times. When Jesus told them to pray, they didn't know the temptation that was coming, but that's why Jesus told them, pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And so that's the word of God to us tonight as well. We don't know all the temptations that will come. We know some of them. But there are more to come. And Jesus says to us, pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And so that's the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ that we want to hear tonight. And that's our theme, praying, lest we enter into temptation. Notice first the spiritual awareness that we must have. Secondly, the fervent request. And then finally, the sure answer. We're going to pray, and pray as Jesus commands us to pray when we understand these three things that we want to look at in this first point of the sermon. There's an awareness that we must have, a spiritual awareness, a knowledge that we must have if we're going to pray as Jesus tells us to pray. What are those three things we must understand? Well, first of all, we must understand the great enemy, the evil one, Satan himself. Secondly, we must understand what he does, the tact that he uses. And what he uses is temptation. And then thirdly, we need to understand how weak we are of ourselves. So first, we need to understand the one who assaults us and attacks us, the evil one. That's part of the petition that Jesus teaches us to pray. Deliver us from evil, and literally deliver us from the evil one. The evil one here is Satan. It is the devil. And that's what Jesus teaches us to pray. We have a great enemy who is the devil. He's a fierce enemy who wants to destroy us. We need to understand something about who he is and what his goal is in his work. Now, the devil is a fierce enemy. We should never underestimate the enemy. We know about him that he is not God. He's not equal to God or close to being equal with God. We know that he was created by God. He's a fallen angel. That's who Satan is. We know as well then that he's not omnipresent. He certainly is not eternal. He is not like God. And in fact, we remember from the scriptures, especially the book of Job, that the devil is under the sovereign control of God. Now, even though those things are true about the devil, that doesn't mean at all that we should underestimate him, that we don't have to think about the devil because God has him under control. Even though he's under God's sovereign control and serving God's purposes, yet he's an enemy who is attacking us constantly, especially through the great army of fallen angels that is at his disposal. He is working with his deception and lies to attack us constantly in this life. And what's his goal? Well, the goal of Satan is that we would deny Jesus. That's the very thing that is the focus of Mark 14 in the parts of it that we read. Notice that Jesus said to Peter and to the disciples as well, that they would be offended at him and then they would scatter as sheep. And so we see that actually happening in this history as well. And Peter, in response to that, says that he would not be offended at Jesus. He confessed that he would even die for Jesus. Peter and all of the disciples vowed strongly, vehemently, the passage tells us, that they would not deny Jesus in any way. And in some ways, at first, they backed that up. When the army came to the garden to arrest Jesus, they didn't flee right away, but instead they stood there with Jesus and Peter. In fact, he withdrew his sword and he was ready to fight. Somehow he had taken a sword with and he had snuck it along, and there he was ready to fight. He drew that sword, and of course we know how he cut off the ear of Malchus, and Jesus put that ear back on, healed the ear of Malchus, and then Jesus rebuked Peter and told him to put away his sword and that he was not to fight and that Jesus was going to go along with them willingly. The disciples didn't know what to do with that. Peter didn't know what to do with that. That's when they fled. But then later in the chapter, we read as well, of course, of the three times that Peter denied Jesus. What we learn from that is that this is one of the goals that Satan has, is that those who confess the name of Jesus Christ would deny him. That's what Satan wants us to do in our lives. Maybe it's under the threat of persecution that harm would come to us. There might be those who would mock us or hurt us for the confession of Jesus Christ. Satan wants us in our lives to deny Jesus, but it's not just at those times. We deny Jesus when we walk in ways that are contrary to the word that he gives to us. When we walk in disobedience to Jesus, that's what Satan wants for us. He wants us trapped in the snare of sin, so that in our sin we would deny Jesus. We would turn away from him. We would say, by our walking in sin, he's not my master and Lord. I'm my master and Lord, and I will do what I want. That's what Satan wants for our children and our young people, that they would deny Jesus, not live according to his word and commandments. But that's what Satan wants for every one of us. He wants sin to take root and destroy our lives. He wants that especially to be found in our relationships and in our marriages and our homes. We see in the day in which we live how it is that Satan is attacking marriage and our homes as well, wanting to disrupt all of that with sin. And so that when there's not peace in our homes and not peace in our marriages, that we would turn away from God and we'd follow in our own ways and our own answers to all of those things. Oh, the devil is working today. Is there any doubt about that? And so we need that spiritual awareness of the devil, what his goal is, that he wants us to deny Jesus in our lives, and will use anything in this world to attack us so that we would deny Jesus. That's the first thing we need to be aware of. The second thing we need to be aware of is how he attacks. And that again comes out of the petition here. Lead us not into temptation. Jesus also in Mark 14 speaks of that as well. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We need to be aware tonight of the devious and pernicious and destructive attacks of Satan upon us. And he attacks us with temptation. He did that even in Jesus' own life, tempting Jesus in the wilderness, in a time of physical weakness for Jesus' own body. Satan comes and he attacks Jesus with those three temptations in the wilderness. But it wasn't just those times. Throughout his ministry, Satan was tempting Jesus. So, Satan is working on us in the same way. There's a real and present danger for us in these temptations that we face in our lives. Now, when Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, Jesus is not teaching us to ask God that we not be tempted at all. We shouldn't expect it in our lives if we're praying this, that we will not face temptation in our lives. That's not the idea. That, of course, is not the reality. But the idea instead is this: when temptation comes, may we have strength that we would not follow what we are tempted to do. May we not comply to that. May we not succumb to temptation. May we not give in and walk in sin. That's what Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray. That's what He means there when He says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Jesus knew the temptation that was coming for them. The temptation in the garden, the temptation later for Peter. When he's there while in the courtyard while Jesus is being tried by the Sanhedrin, Jesus knew the temptation that was coming. And He says, pray to make yourself ready to face that temptation. And so we're not praying to escape all temptation, but that God would protect us and preserve us in the midst of that temptation. What is temptation? First of all, temptation includes lies. Satan is a liar. He's the father of the lie. So part of temptation is the lie of Satan, that God's way is foolish and His way is right. And that's the way Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did God say? Oh, no, that's not right. God said, you're going to eat that, you're going to die. No, no, no. If you eat that, you'll become like Him. That's always what Satan does. He twists things. He turns things. He says, no, what God says isn't true. This is what's really true. This is what's really going on. I've got the inside track. Let me tell you what's going on. And that's the way Satan works with us as well. But his purpose always is to turn us from righteousness, obedience, to unrighteousness. To turn us away from God so that we would deny Jesus. Deny Jesus in our confession and deny Jesus in our life. Remember His goal, to ensnare us in sin. In Mark chapter 14, we learn about temptation. We learn that Satan is attempting to destroy with the lie, but he does so in unique ways. Temptation does not always come in the most obvious of circumstances. Consider that here in Mark 14. Where did the temptation come? Well, the temptation didn't come right away when the soldiers came and the men came to arrest Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't right there and right then. It wasn't in that very obvious situation. But later on, for Peter, there's one he's there just blending in. And then there's a maid, not a soldier, not one of the judges, not one of the 70 men of the Sanhedrin who could have done something, but a lowly little maid late at night in the dark. And she says, aren't you one of those who was with Jesus? Then the temptation came. Certainly it wasn't expected at that moment by Peter, but that is exactly when it came. So we should see that temptation does not always come in the big moments of life, but so often it comes in these small moments. Notice as well that this is late at night. No doubt the disciples are tired. How often are we tempted to sin when we're tired? We come home from work, we're tired, and we're expecting some maybe me time, not more responsibilities and more work. Or when the husband is coming home, we're expecting that he's going to help out a lot, and we're tired from all the work that we've been doing through the day, and then it doesn't turn out like we want, like we expect. Our expectation wasn't met, and we're tempted to sin in those moments. We're short with each other, we snip at each other, and things like that. Or we're tired from a long week. And so we think that we're deserving of some certain things, and we have some free time for ourselves or whatever it might be. Satan's attacking in these small moments of life. Sometimes when you're sitting in traffic, again, not expecting it, and you expect everything goes smooth, you get your appointment on time and the traffic stops, or there's somebody who does something dumb in front of you. It's those small moments. And that's why Jesus was instructing them, pray lest you enter into temptation, because there's this moment coming when you're going to be tempted and you're not going to expect it. And that's why you need to pray. And so that's true for us as well. Temptations that come when we're not expecting it, or temptations come when we are expecting it. Still, the preparation for those is the same. We are called to pray. We need God's grace and His strength in those moments. So the awareness that we must have is, first of all, the evil one, the one who attacks us. Secondly, the way he attacks with temptation. And then the third thing we must understand is our own weakness. You can't just have the first two and then come to the conclusion, I need to pray, but this third one's part of it, isn't it? And that's what Jesus says again in Mark 14, verse 38. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Our catechism emphasizes that as well. This is part of the petition. This is what it means to pray this. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. You know that to be true of yourself? You're so weak that you can't stand a moment. Do you really know that and understand that? Or in pride, you think of yourself much differently. There's a danger that we don't see our weakness like we should. That was part of Peter's problem. When Jesus speaks about them being offended at him, what does Peter respond? What do the disciples respond? No, I'll never deny you. I will never deny you. I'll never be offended at you. Vehemently, they deny it. Why? Puffed up in the front. That would never happen to me. And how easily aren't we that way? See what somebody else does? That, not me. That would never happen to me. I don't do those kinds of things. It's always someone else. And then even Peter, he was told by Jesus, he'll deny Jesus three times before the cock crows twice. What happens as he's denying Jesus? The cock crows once. Peter doesn't even hear it. Doesn't even ring a bell. Puffed up in his pride there. And that's the great danger for us as well. Pride goes before the fall. That's our great problem as well. I've got this. I can handle this. I don't need this. No, we do. God makes us aware tonight of how weak we are. We are weak. Yes, we have the new man in us. We have the life of Jesus Christ within us. But still, that old man of sin, it's there. It's powerful, active within us. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. This is why we need to pray and pray fervently. That's what Jesus says. Pray lest ye enter into temptation. So understanding this, understanding the evil one, understanding that he tempts us, understanding our own weakness, now we pray. Jesus reminds us here tonight in this petition of the Lord's Prayer and in Mark 14, especially verse 38, but there in the context, Jesus reminds us that vital in our battle against sin is prayer. Pray, pray, and pray some more. That's what Jesus is saying here. Not just pray once, but pray, constantly be praying. Pray without ceasing as you're fighting against sin in your life. Prayer is one of the weapons God has given to us in this battle of faith. It's not the only weapon. We understand and know that the chief weapon is the Word of God. Reading the Word of God, so that as we read the Word of God, we're listening to the Word of God. We're hearing what God says. But remember that prayer is our response to the Word of God. Now certainly we must hear what God says in His Word. And we should be reminded at the beginning of another year how important it is that we're in the Word. That we're in the Word as families. That we're in the Word as individuals. That we're going to hear what God says to us in His Word. How important for us, if we haven't done it yet, to put together a Bible reading plan, a devotional plan for this new year. You want something to plan? There's some of you who like to plan, maybe others don't, but we should all be planning anyway. Because we're going to face temptation, and face temptation in times we won't expect it, but we need to be ready for it. Be ready for it with the Word of God, and then as well with prayer. Crying out to God for that which we need. Prayer always goes along with the Word of God. For in prayer, we're asking then for God to give us what He promises in His Word. Remember what we heard this morning? The promises. Forgiveness of sins. So we cry out, confessing our sins, God, forgive me. And then God promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. God, give me that Spirit, strengthening me by that Spirit to live in holiness and godliness in my life, that when I'm tempted by Satan, I would say no to sin and no to him. In our fighting against sin, we must learn to speak to God. And there's two ways specifically we see that in the big picture. Without looking at what we pray, we'll look at that in a moment. But first of all, see and understand that prayer is preparation for the temptations that will come. That's what Jesus says here in Mark 14, verse 38. There in the garden, the temptation wasn't right then at that moment for the disciples. He tells them to pray because of what was to come. He knows what Peter will do. Jesus told Peter what he would do. He told him. Now, if that doesn't take away our sinful pride, what will? Jesus said to Peter, point blank, you will deny me three times before the cock crows twice. That's what you'll do. Peter says, no, I won't. And what did Peter do? He denied him three times before the cock crew twice. Now, we could look at that and say, Peter, how could he do that? God tells us all the time, this is sin, this is wrong, don't do this. And how often don't we do it? This is a wrong response to this situation. This is not how you're supposed to live. This is not what it means to trust in God, living in all of that fear and anxiety, whatever else it may be. We know that. We see that we have the sin pointed out in our own lives by the preaching of the Word, by the people that are around us as well. And it's, oh, no, I've got this. I can handle this. No, we don't. We do the things that God says we're going to do wrongly against Him. And that's why we need to pray. Children, you need to pray. Young people, you need to pray. I need to pray. We all need to pray that we would enter not into temptation. This is preparation for the temptation that is ahead. But then in the very moments when we find ourselves tempted, that's a time to pray as well. Here's a weapon. Take it out and use it in those moments when we are being tempted by the devil and our own sinful flesh. Let us then learn to pray and use this as a weapon as we're fighting against sin and temptation in our lives. What do we pray? We pray that we would not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but that we constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. That's what the Heidelberg Catechism points out to us. In that spiritual awareness that we have of the enemy, of our own weakness, and how the enemy works as well, then this is our prayer. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. This means praying that we would not be overcome in this spiritual warfare. Praying that we would not give in to the lies and the deceit of the devil. And that if Satan comes and he tempts us, that God would remove us and take us out of that situation, that He would give us strength to stand strong, to live lives that are controlled by the Word of God and not lives that are dominated by sin. Think of the grips of sin. Think of hands that are holding something, and it's praying that we would not be in the grips of that sin, that we would not be held by sin in bondage to sin in our own lives, so that we find ourselves repeating the same sins over and over again. Father in heaven, break that cycle. Change me so I no longer continue to walk in that same way. It's praying that we be freed from the awful bondage of sin. It's praying for the strength to resist the temptations that are found in our lives, and that we would not desire a life of sin. Give me strength to fight against it. Or to use that language of Ephesians, give me strength to put off the old man and put on that new man. To do that in the moments of life when I'm facing sin and temptation and the wrong ways that I've done things before. We pray this in confidence. Confidence that there is power in Jesus Christ. And that's where the cross enters in. Knowing that there is forgiveness when we confess our sins, we know also the cross is a power. So we're leaning on that power of the cross and leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that means crying out that God would give us strength, because I know I'm so weak, I cannot stand for a moment. Beloved, is that what we're doing? Are we going to God in prayer often because we know how weak and sinful we are? Right now, are you taking sin seriously? Are you taking the devil seriously? Are you taking his temptation seriously? Or does our prayer life show that we don't take it seriously at all? That we don't take seriously our own weakness and sin? What we need right now is a lower view of ourselves, and we need a higher view of God. We must not think that we can stand of our own strength and we can do it in the strength of our willpower. I can just say no the next time. You don't have the strength of yourself. I don't have the strength. We don't even have the strength altogether. But the strength is found alone in God. And we need a much higher view of Him. We had a sermon last Sunday out of Isaiah 6. Of the holiness of God. That's the view of God we need. His greatness and majesty is on the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. This is the God we need as we're fighting against sin in our own lives. That's part of understanding that we're saved by grace and by grace alone. This God who saved us by grace and by grace alone, He is my defender. He is my protector, as we've been singing tonight. He defends us and protects us against sin and temptation. And thus there is for us a sure answer. God will hear us when we pray this to Him. We have assurance when we come before God in prayer. And I point us to two things. First of all, here in Mark 14. Let's not forget that Jesus was praying in the garden. Jesus understood what was ahead for Him. He understood that part of that was temptation as well. And that He needed strengthening to carry out what God called Him to do. If Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. But now we look at Jesus and see Him praying there in the garden three times to His Father. And then He's ready to do the work that God called Him to do. He's ready to go meet those who are going to arrest Him. He's ready for the cross, as God had given Him strength now. And thus we see the One in whom our strength is found. Jesus, when He was tempted, He did not sin. He was sinless here. That's an illustration of the second thing I want to point out. And that is what we read in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, the end verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. What beautiful truth there. Our high priest, often called on the basis of this passage a sympathetic high priest. He knows what you face. He knows what you go through better than you know it yourself, because He, as the Son of God, became flesh and He faced it Himself. He faced it Himself. All the small things you might face in your life, and the temptations that you face in those circumstances, difficult circumstances, no doubt. But He understands. He knows. Why? He's experienced the infirmities that we go through in this life. And He was without sin. What's the point? Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The assurance we need tonight, the sure answer we need, is that we have this sympathetic high priest who will show us mercy and who will give us grace to help in our time of need. We understand then that He has conquered Satan. He has conquered the kingdom of darkness. He has done that by His death on the cross. And therefore, we may come boldly before Him and before our God through Him in the confidence that He will give us the strength we need to face temptation and sin in our own lives. There's no reason to be afraid. Go before God. Pray. Let Him know your weakness. He knows your weakness better than you know your weakness. And He will give to you that which you need as you face that weakness in your own life. He is able to deliver us from the power of sin, from the slavery of sin, from the bondage of sin in our lives. He has the strength and the power to do that. But along with that, we have the assurance tonight of complete victory. That's the very end of answer 127, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Here's the beautiful truth of God's work of preserving us. And here's again why we pray. Why we pray that God will protect us. He promises to do that. He will preserve us so that we obtain a complete victory. In this life, He gives to us His Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is greater than the power of the devil and sin. He's wiser than the devil as well. The Spirit shows us our sin. The Spirit assures us that we are sons and daughters. The Spirit gives us strength to overcome sin in our lives. And so we have the assurance that when we pray, God will answer us. God will protect us and preserve us by this work of the Spirit. But He will do that until we receive that complete victory. How beautiful is that complete victory? It's not just no more sin in me. But it's no more attacker. No more assaults. The devil, no more coming at us. But instead, He will be cast into the everlasting lake of fire. He will be cast there with all those who belong to Him. All those who are not God's people. All those who are the reprobate. But in heaven, we will be brought there, and there will be no more attacks then, and there will be no more sin. Let's not forget the end of it all. God is giving us this sure victory. He is taking us to our heavenly home, and there we will live forever without sin before His face. And so it's not just we remember the victory in the moment, but we remember the full and complete victory that is to come. And all of that encourages us then tonight, when we're tempted, when we're struggling with sin, to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We heed the command of Jesus, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. For the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. May we be encouraged to read God's Word and pray for this protection. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're heading out into a new week of work and the regular schedules of school. and the many other things that we plan to do in this week as well. Father in heaven, in the life that is before us in this week, we know not what temptations we will face, especially in the small moments of life. There are other temptations we know that we will face because we faced them in the weeks gone by. We've struggled in these particular situations or with these particular sins. But whether we know they're coming or we don't know what's coming, we pray, Father, protect us. Protect us from sin. Protect us when we're tempted. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt lead us not into temptation, that when we are tempted, that we would say no to sin and temptation. We would do what is right before Thy face. We don't have the strength ourselves. Give us the strength by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this week, defend us and protect us, that more and more we may put off the old man and put on the new man and live in obedience before Thy face. So bless us by this word. Strengthen us in our prayer lives tonight, that we may know that we have a high priest who is a sympathetic high priest, who knows the feelings of our infirmities, and therefore we come boldly before Thee to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Grant us strength to remember this in this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.